The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Happy Tuesday afternoon, everybody. This is Tom Hart sitting in for Paul Feinbaum today. And if all goes well, we'll do it again tomorrow. Driving this bus for a couple days, we have a fantastic guest list for you today and another one coming together tomorrow that's going to be sensational. We want to hear from you. As always, you can call in at 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. If you are unfamiliar with me, get in the line. There's a lot of people that are. You can find me on the SEC Network, mainly on ESPN Television, SEC Saturday Night, my buddies Jordan Rogers, Cole Kublick, college basketball on ESPN and the SEC Network, college baseball. We just wrapped up College World Series in Omaha. That was a fantastic trip and really the only trip of the year in this weird COVID academic season, so to speak. So that's the background, and we're going to talk a lot, obviously mainly college football today. But I was thinking, you know, it's rare for me to watch a sporting event without being invested in it. And what I mean by that is having a rooting interest. And that doesn't necessarily mean that my team is playing. But for me to sit down and spend my time watching a sporting event, I got to have a rooting interest in either the team, some individuals, maybe it's a conference that I want to watch play, etc. Like, we all, I think, go through that. There's a reason to watch our games and the events. Like, for example, last night, watched some of the Home Run Derby. Pete Alonso, covered him when he was at Florida. I love his childlike enthusiasm for the game. The dude just wants to play baseball and keeps it simple. And I like watching that enthusiasm and energy when he's on the field. So it was fun for me to watch the Home Run Derby last night. I'll watch a little bit of the All-Star game tonight from Denver, Major League All-Star game, because I like Freddie Freeman, and I want to see Freddie Freeman out there in a Braves uniform and see what Freddie does, and hopefully on that big stage the reigning NL MVP can show that he is as good as everybody else on the field. Okay, so despite that, and obviously when it comes to college football, college basketball, college World Series, college baseball, other events, like I'm invested in them, either professionally or personally, through people I know, through teams I want to watch win, individuals I want to see do well, or in the other case, sometimes you're invested in an event because you want to see somebody do not so well, right? We all know that. We all have rivals. We all have teams that we don't like. We don't want to see do well. Yet every summer, at about this time, despite knowing next to nothing, knowing nothing of the competitors and having only a surface-level knowledge of the event, I get drawn into the Tour de France. I don't know why. I can't really explain much of it. I don't speak French. I've never been to France. It's maybe the picturesque beauty of the Pyrenees or the English countryside, the presentation, these cameras they have, and the drones, and the mountain peaks and the valleys. It's awesome. But it's me just kind of mindlessly watching this event because it looks good on television. Not that I care who wins. Not that I'm looking for a crash or want any drama. I like the presentation. And I sit there mindlessly taking it in. And so today, that happens again. I had kind of forgotten it was on because I was on vacation and out of town and the TV hadn't been on. So I'm watching the Tour de France and I realize, man, this is just like college football. The Tour de France today was this today's stage was won by a guy named Patrick Conrad. I don't know the bloke, never heard of him. I couldn't tell you where he's from. I don't know anything about him. But when I tuned in late in the stage, which was about lunchtime today in the East Coast, I'm in Atlanta today, there was Patrick Conrad out in front. Then there was a chase pack. We had eight chasers, right? They had broken away from the group. Patrick Conrad went on the sprint, and then this other group broke away to try and catch Conrad. They never caught him. He ends up winning the stage by a minute. I don't know. And by the way, this is like riding your bike from Knoxville, Tennessee to Asheville, North Carolina, except like triple the mountains, okay? So Patrick Conrad breaks ahead, and then there's only eight chasers behind him. They're the only ones that have a chance to win the stage if they can catch him. Then there's the peloton, right? Not the bike that Cole Kublick rides, although we'll talk to him later. Then there's the peloton, this big group behind those guys that, you know, they have a chance to win the whole thing, but we're not talking about them today. And then there's a group called Off the Back. And I was like, this is college football. Because in my mind, the way I view this upcoming college football season is you have Alabama. Then you have a Chase Pack. It's pretty small in the grand scheme of things. The teams that have a chance to win the national championship, of course, Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas A&M is in that conversation, in my opinion. And that's it. Like, then there's this huge gap, and you go miles behind, and there's the Peloton. And there's a group of teams in college football that make up the Peloton, like today's ride coming down the Pyrenees and through the midst in the rain. And there's a group that could make it interesting and that could win any given weekend, and that could be, I don't know, Iowa State, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Miami, Oklahoma State, Oregon, LSU in that conversation. On down the line, Coastal Carolina, Texas, who knows. But the real race is the leader and the Chase Pack. And everybody else is just there for color. Because it's Alabama leading. And then, depending on your perspective, fine. Clemson, Oklahoma, whomever. Georgia, right there. Ohio State, Texas A&M. Iowa State, you're back in the Peloton. So I'm watching the Tour de France today, and I'm thinking, huh. What a perfect example as we get ready to get into media days, Big 12 rolling tomorrow, I guess it is. And we'll talk to Bill Connelly about the Big 12. He's got a massive preview out. He's on the show later today. SEC coming your way next week from Hoover. Cole Kubrick's going to be on. We got a couple segments with Cole. Talk about his new show in Birmingham. Talk about his expectations in the SEC. Buck Ballew will be on later. National champion Georgia quarterback. Haven't had one since. Is now Georgia's time? We'll try to figure that out. Georgia's certainly part of that leading pack, that leader pack, trying to catch up with Alabama out in front of everybody. And we're talking about it being invested in sports and invested in the shows that you watch and events, whether you are interested in watching the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight or not. I don't know. But we're going to talk to Chris Burke about what just wrapped up. The MLB draft, he covered it day one. We had it on ESPN. In fact, he probably covered more of it than he thought he was going to when everybody's power went out. But we'll talk to Berkey about specifically the college players and how they are going to impact these teams in years to come, winners, losers, et cetera. Who else? We got Richard Johnson. We got Richard Johnson on. You know him from Split Zone Duo. We got a lot to talk to Richard about, including – Dan Mullen and his quarterback situation. Here's a guy who is a quarterback whisperer who always makes his quarterbacks better because he is not married to one scheme. He had Alex Johnson at one point running the option, okay, when he was at Utah. So what can he do to make his quarterback the best that he can be this year? We saw what happened with Kyle Trask. And how important is that one position to Florida and their chance of success this year? I have a rosier view of their chance of success, and I think some of the guests have been on here in recent weeks here on the Feinbaum Show. And then my alma mater, University of Missouri, we're going to talk with Eli Drinkwitz, the head football coach there. They have been crushing it in recruiting lately. Another tweet came out today. The guy's signing four-star recruits when he's at the lake on a pontoon boat. So he's doing something right. And what I'm really interested in, also his perspective, is the head coach perspective going into media days. How do you tweet it? How do you treat it? Pardon me. What's your view of it? How do you prepare for it? And what did you learn from last year? You know, what can be taken from a COVID year that was just so random in many different ways? So that's the show. We got it all lined up for you. We want you to be a part of it. We've already got some callers waiting now, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. 855-242-7285. Tom Hart in for Paul. When we return in just a few moments, my buddy Cole Kubrick's going to join us. We're going to break down all the SEC football action you could ever desire. And we're also going to talk to him about his swimming lessons. All of that after the break. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Paul Feinbaum Show rolls on. Tom Hart guest hosting for Paul today and again tomorrow. And we picked this song perfectly, specifically for our first guest of the day. He is my dear friend Cole Kubrick, who just finished up with swimming lessons, I understand. What stroke did you work on today, Cole?
Not for me. They are for my children, and that's actually 45 minutes from now. So I'm glad that you're actually able to keep up with the schedule there. So it's okay. It's all good.
Yeah, please send me
but
your
you told
itinerary.
Them our song. You gave the producers our song. I'm glad that you're able to get that out there for everybody. So that's cool.
I did. You've had a lot of change in your life lately. You've got a new radio show on Jocks in Birmingham with Greg McElroy. I'm curious, how much hand-wringing was there, or infighting, or Oklahoma drill, whatever you guys had to do to decide whose name was going to come first on the name of the show?
I believe it was contractually obligated by Greg McElroy that his name be first. He actually made a hard push for my name to not even be included in the show. And I think that was overridden by some of the folks at Cumulus. That way, we were scheduled to start about a month earlier. And that really took us back a little bit because he's pretty adamant about that. But it's one of those things that as a quarterback, he's used to getting his way. He's used to having things be exactly the way that he wants them. You know, they roll the red carpet out for him, and you know he has people hold the doors for him inside the building, and somebody comes in and adjusts his microphone for him. I'm just over in the corner, you know, trying to be a good co-host. And actually, I was told not to refer to myself as a co-host. I was asked to refer to myself as Guy on Radio with Greg. So next time you have me on, you'll know we're visiting with Guy on Radio with Greg. That's what I'm supposed to be from now on.
Well, that's kind of like working with me then.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm lucky if I get my 7 words in a game when you and I are working together. And only when you ask for my 7 words am I allowed to give them. So
that's
I'm
right.
Used to it.
That's right. I'm actually sitting in my basement in Atlanta, where I broadcast most of our college football games this past year. I understand I'll actually be able to spend some time with you during the college football season this year. So, without boring people with our personal stories, let's talk about what we can expect in the SEC this year. Is the meat grinder of the West going to be the complete opposite of what we should see in the East in the SEC this year, or am I simplifying too much?
Yeah, I don't think it will be completely opposite, but I do agree with you in the West because it doesn't look like anybody's really trending down in that division. I think LSU really has a chance to bounce back. A&M's not going anywhere. I know there's a quarterback competition, but everything around them really points to him having a good season. That Ole Miss offense, people need to go look at the receptions by the guys returning. It's not just the fact that you lose a tight end and you lose an Elijah Moore. They've got a lot of production back at that position. I think they're going to be fine there. I understand that there's a coaching change at Auburn and the scheme is going to be a little bit different, but I have some confidence in that coaching staff. I think the defensive front and the defense altogether under Derek Mason can be a little bit better than people think. You and I had State a couple of times late last year, and it really did feel like once the injection of youth was made into that offense, things looked to be heading in the right direction. And we were both impressed by Zach Arnett. I don't think that defense is going to go anywhere, even with a little bit of leadership gone. And obviously we know what Sam's doing in Fayetteville is pretty special. They have one of the best receivers in college football coming back. And by the way, a former SEC head coach coordinating that defense that did an amazing job last year. I think there are still parts of Florida that are dangerous. We know what Georgia is. We don't need to spend a ton of time on them. They're the favorite of the division. They're one of the teams that a lot of people are going to point to and say, yes, they could be in the playoff and they could potentially go win a national championship. I think that with what Florida has back, people just look at what's gone and they sort of forget that what returns. I think that with a little bit more mobility at quarterback, it may fit what Dan Mullen wants to do a little bit more. I still think that with guys like Jacob Copeland back, Damian Pierce back, the skill position is not like it's just going to completely fall off the map. And they have guys on defense that have sort of been waiting to bust out. I thought it was going to be last year for Muhammad Diabate. Still might be this year for that group. I'm anxious to see how they sort of operate on defense. I know Grantham is full attack mode all the time, but he may have to draw it back a little bit. If Florida's really going to be better, the offensive line's got to come around. That's what hasn't been there for Coach Mullen since he's been in Gainesville. I think we both know that Kentucky's got a real shot. I mean, now all of a sudden, you bring in Wandell Robinson from Nebraska. You got two transfer receivers from the Power Five that could really begin to help you stretch the field with a new offense and maybe a new quarterback, be it a Bo Allen, a Will Levis, maybe a Joey Gatewood, that can find ways to stretch the field, something they haven't really been successful doing. Most of that front seven's back. Offensive line's still going to be good, still going to be physical. And I think Coach Drinkwitz in Missouri has an absolute stud on his hand in Connor Basley. I think he has a chance to be a very good college quarterback. And then also, I think South Carolina's going to get a couple wins that people don't really see, and mainly because of the defensive line. Kingsley Enagbare is a guy that not a lot of people talk about. We know that they've recruited well at that position. Jordan Bentley's going to be back. He had one of the highest profile recruits in coming out of high school football last year that's been on that defensive line. A nice group of tight ends, good group of running backs. I think South Carolina gets a couple of games that some people don't think. Tennessee and Vanderbilt are the ones that I think most of us aren't really sure exactly where they're going to find a ton of wins, but I don't think it's just going to be Georgia, you know, separated by 3-4 games by whoever finishes second in the SEC East.
No, the exodus of talent at Tennessee will leave them down looking up, and remains to be seen how quickly they can replenish the tank there. I think what you might have in the East, and by the way, we're going to have a huge game, the first SEC game of the season, September 11th, Missouri at Kentucky, because that's going to have implications the rest of the year in that division. But I think what you're talking about is teams that are going to be down, the Tennessees and the Vanderbilts, and I would put South Carolina in that conversation. They're going to allow those other teams more rest than you would typically get during an SEC season to be primed if you're a middle-of-the-pack top, you know, next tier, to where you could upset a Georgia on any given weekend if you come into that game healthy. If you come into that game prepared where you've had a little bit of downtime. And once again, that's going to depend on the schedule and a little bit of luck when it comes to injuries and staying healthy. But it certainly seems like Georgia is – they're the team. You brought up Ole Miss, and I think they're fascinating because from an offensive standpoint, yeah, they lost Elijah Moore. He was a great security blanket for Matt Corral. I don't think Matt Corral needs that security blanket anymore. I mean, I think with Lane Kiffin calling the plays and the way they put him in a position to succeed and the rest of the talent he has around him, I mean, I don't think he's going to win the Heisman, don't get me wrong, because I don't think they're going to be a 10-win team, but I think they're going to put up a ton of points.
I was really surprised by one thing with Ole Miss, and that was that they did not find sort of that hybrid flex tight end in the transfer portal, because – you go back to what they were last year when that guy was in the lineup. When Kenny Yeboah was on the field, they were different. Jeff Lebby told me before the LSU game, we sat on the field, and he said, I said, what are you going to do without Yeboah? He said, we don't have another guy like that. And he said, we can be everything we want to be when he's on the field. When he's not, we have to be a little bit different. I thought the offensive line made gigantic strides last year. I think one of the more underrated offensive linemen in the SEC is Nick Broeker, their left tackle. Guy's really fun to watch. I think Jerrion Ealy might be the most underrated running back in all of college football. And I think some of the things that they did with Elijah Moore last year from a movement perspective, from going from running back out to the slot, slot back to running back, taking some of the jet orbit bubble motions, Jerrion Ealy can do all of that. I mean, he can be sort of the Swiss Army knife in the backfield for this Ole Miss offense, well, and even out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's versatile. You're versatile. I don't want you to go anywhere. I don't want you to get ready. Don't put your floaties on yet. Don't get ready for your swim lesson. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to tell that Jordan Rodgers story, that one that's going to blow everybody's mind. Can you stick around for another segment?
Let's do it. I got one more segment in me.
All right. This is Tom Hart in for Paul Feinbaum. The Feinbaum Show continues right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Tom Hart sitting in for Paul today. And tomorrow we'll take your calls 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. On the line with us now, one of my broadcast partners, Cole Kubelik. See, I said your name properly and everything. You've spent a lot of time already here prior to talking season breaking down teams in the SEC. I want you to break down for me the best Brussels in the SEC. Give me your top three.
We got to go Tony's in Lexington. Obviously, they're in 100%. Probably number one. What was our spot in Fayetteville that we had Brussels for three consecutive nights?
Yeah, I'll have that in a moment. I apologize.
That was probably be
Theo's.
Two.
That's Theo's in favor.
Theo's,
they changed ownership, Theo. And the owner saw our tweet and welcomed us with open arms.
Theo's will be number two, Brussels. And number three is the Republic, I believe, in College Station, Texas. Those are our top three Brussels as far as the SEC tour and restaurants that we frequent while we're calling games.
When we do travel together and call games, and traveling with Jordan Rodgers is at times a spectacle. He's got a pretty high Q rating, all right? So there are people who come out of the woodwork that want to see him, shake his hand, get their picture taken with them and such, all ages, everybody.
I just want to clarify before you continue that you said Q rating, not IQ rating. So don't, just so the people don't get it twisted there. Yeah. Those are different.
He's got clout. But we had a dinner a couple years ago in Baton Rouge where a lovely couple sitting near us approached our table as people are wont to do towards the end of our dinner, very politely asked to get their picture taken with the group, but specifically one member of our broadcast crew. It may not be who folks would expect. Can you retell that story?
Well, we were at dinner at a lovely restaurant there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, getting ready to call an LSU game the next night. And like you said, oftentimes we can usually see the people creeping up from the side, or they're watching, or they're waiting. And it's this couple had been kind of looking, had hanging out. They were sort of floating around the table, and all of a sudden, you know, they walk up, and we're thinking, okay, here we go. These are some big J. Rodge fans, or they're JoJo fans, and they're going to want a picture, and we're going to have to go through the whole thing. And either you or me, you're going to have to stand up and take the picture to make everybody happy because they can't do it themselves. And so the guy comes in, he leans over, puts his arm around me, and he said, oh, boy, I love watching you play ball. Oh, man. I remember back in 99. Oh, man, it was great. He said, just wanted to say that. Just wanted to say hello.
I believe he dropped. I was a huge Mike Ditka fan.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, no, that was when they came back around.
Oh, gotcha.
And I just said, oh, okay, thanks. And you were like, what was 99? And I said, well, I mean, cigar game, the last time Auburn won here in Baton Rouge, maybe that's what he's talking about. And he said, you know, the old 54 running around there. And I was like, yeah, Haven Fields was a good linebacker. I mean, he won Tequila Spike, but, you know, that was my teammate. That was my guy. He did some good things. And you and Jordan was kind of like, yeah, okay, that's weird. That doesn't really add up, but okay. Well, then later in dinner when they're leaving, that's when he and his wife came back, and they just said, one more time, I want to tell you, oh, man, I love. And by the way, my wife, big Ditka fan, loves Sweetness. Oh, man, Dan Hampton, the guys, the fridge. We love it. We love it, man. This morning, can't believe we got to meet you. And then they walk out. Well, we didn't. We kind of put two and two together at that point that they thought that I was Brian Urlacher. And which, by the way, I took as the ultimate compliment because I think Urlacher is probably about 35, 40 pounds lighter than I am.
Well, he also has hair now.
I was feeling pretty good about myself at that point. The best part about the story that I'm not even sure I ever shared this with you, 3 or 4 weeks later, I'm flying up to do a Northern Illinois game. And you fly through Chicago. And obviously, you got to drive out before you get up there to Northern Illinois. And land in Chicago, I'm driving, making my way up to DeKalb, Illinois. And I start passing these billboards. And I mean, everybody's got them in their town, right? Like here in Alabama, it's Alexander Shinar. Like he's a lawyer. He has billboards everywhere. But every town's got like the guy, whether it's real estate, insurance, whatever it is. They got all the billboards. And I mean, it's like every third billboard. Call hair replacement, call this. And I was like, who is the guy on these billboards? And I see the fourth one and it says Brian Urlacher. And I was like, the dude's got hair now. So like these people thought I was Brian Urlacher and he's actually not even bald anymore. So yeah. that took the story to a completely different level.
Jordan and I literally fell into the bathroom laughing. We were laughing so hard. And then the couple were great sports. We called him out the next night during the broadcast and said, we apologize. You did not meet Brian Urlacher. Hey, we only have like a minute and a half here. I started the show talking about how I was watching the Tour de France today, and I was reminded of college football because in my mind, we have a leader, we have a chase pack, and then the rest of the peloton is way back. And I've got Alabama leading in terms of national championship contenders, and then a very elite group, Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas A&M, whatever order you want to put them in the chase group, and the peloton way back off everybody else. Is there somebody else I'm missing from the peloton who you think should garner real consideration to be a national champion this year?
Well, if you're including, see, I would have Ohio State and A&M sort of tier two. So if you're going to include those two in tier one, then I think Iowa State also deserves to be in tier one. But I would go ahead and bump Ohio State and A&M to tier two, still not far off. I think Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma are right now in a stratosphere of their own as we head into this season. But I'll say great job by you because when people tune into the Paul Feinbaum show, the first thing they need is Tour de France updates.
Yeah,
and
well,
God,
listen.
If there's one thing Feinbaum listeners know how to relate to, it's someone who's watching the Tour de France. So you did a great job welcoming yourself to the audience today.
They know the Pyrenees, okay? They know the French countryside as well as anybody. And by the way, I am out on Iowa State. They didn't just lose to Louisiana last year. They got beat. And
Louisiana's a good football team.
Sure, but that's not – a national championship contender does not lose at home to the Raging Cajuns. Congratulations on the new show. You can find them every morning on Jocks with Greg McElroy. And if I don't see you next week in Hoover, I will see you week one of college football.
Can't wait.
That's Cole Kublik. Paul Feinbaum show continues right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Tom Hart sitting in for Paul today and tomorrow. Our crazy good guest list rolls on. We've got Richard Johnson on the line now. You know him from Thinking Out Loud, Split Zone Duo. He can be found on Twitter at RJ_rights. Richard, I don't usually put pressure on my guests to come up with a prediction, but we are on the eve of SEC Media Day, so I need to know who you think is going to win the Britney Spears conservatorship battle.
Well, look, that is the battle that is on the tip of the tongue in my household, I will say. My significant other is a graduated law student, and it's taking the bar soon. So we have been talking about the conservatorship quite often. I'm Team Britney. I'm pulling for Britney.
I had a sense. Of all the questions I could lead with, I had a sense that you would be able to react to that one, which, you know, we're not quite to talking season yet, especially as far as the SEC is concerned. And so I'm curious. You guys come up with amazing content on Split Zone Duo all year long, but especially in the off season, where do you find it? Like, where do you go for the content to engage not just your listeners, but I know how this business works, to entertain each other for the amount of time that you've got to do it?
Oh, goodness. Entertaining. Hey, you can't be giving out the secrets. Entertaining each other is really what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. Trying to stay engaged. No, honestly, the biggest treasure trove that really gets us through the off season is our incredible listeners and our incredible patrons. I mean, those folks come up with ways to stump us on questions that, you know, some of them are mailbag questions that turn into full show segments because we don't know and dig in. And then, you know how it is. You go researching and you find three other things that are tangential to the topic that you're actually looking into. So, you know, the sport is so big and so vast. And it's an endless sort of wormhole of opportunity. It just needs a spark of innovation.
Did you guys dip your collective toe into the realignment issue recently?
Yeah, which one? I mean, June is my favorite time because June is when we always do realignment topics or promotion/relegation dreaming. so either one of those is the hot topic of college football in June. I think the most recent realignment we've done is sort of thinking about what may happen on the FCS level, which is honestly where I think the next realignment phase is really going to come. I know it may be a little bit under people's radars, but pay attention to what's happening in the FCS with some of those leagues and some of the moving dominoes and pieces.
What's good and bad about FCS realignment?
Well, I think some of those FCS leagues, particularly some of the leagues maybe in the South, are looking for ways to potentially Voltron the thing and get their way up to potentially getting an FBS charter. I think there are schools in those leagues who would like to become FBS schools. Now, look, you may need to be careful what you wish for as far as moving up. A team like Georgia Southern did it and has done it really well. And you know, that's all well and good, but, you know, you're looking at a team like Idaho that had to go back down to the FCS. You know, you talk about UConn. Maybe UConn is a team that should go down. UMass, maybe UMass is a team that should go down. You know, it's not all the grass is not always greener on the other side.
Well, hold on. UMass just announced the other day that they're going to welcome sold-out crowds to Alumni Field again. I think it's Alumni Field.
Dozens and dozens of folks on hand.
Yeah, for every Georgia Southern and Appalachian State, there's somebody on the other end of the spectrum. I think we're at the right number. I don't know that anybody's eager to see more people added to the mix, more teams added to the mix right now. Maybe that's selfish of me to put it that way, but the television schedules are pretty full, and the bowl season actually seems to be going the other way in terms of contraction. So I'm not sure. I was thinking if you're going to do realignment, let's just do it. You know, NC State introduced a real wolf today. They have a wolf now. So
hey, that's what I'm talking about. I mean,
yeah.
I remember when I was a kid growing up, somebody told me that there used to be a live gator on campus at the University of Florida. So, come on, let's steer into it. I know Mike doesn't come out of his pen much in Baton Rouge anymore, but, you know, when he is so inclined, let's get Mike back out on the field. You know, when he's up to it, I'm team live mascot. I'm all for it.
I mean, you've Ralphie, you've got Mike, we got the new Wolf in Raleigh. Who knows? I mean, Yosef, he's got animal qualities. He can roll out there and do it. I'm glad you brought up Florida, though. I'm curious your take on where Dan Mullen goes with his quarterback position and how that impacts how versatile they can be offensively. And by versatile, I don't necessarily mean within the season, but how different they can look by kind of running the same stuff and scheme overall, but being different than where they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look a lot more like what he was doing at Mississippi State, you know, stuff that he was doing with Dak and stuff like that. Like, first and foremost, don't get it twisted. Emory Jones can't sling it. He is not some running back there that sometimes throws slant routes. That dude can absolutely wing the pit. I mean, you go back to the Auburn game they had in 2019, the homecoming game. He came in for Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask got hurt on a couple series, and he drove them down the field and led a vertical passing offense. This is not just some glorified running back there. But, yes, Emory is going to give you things with his feet that Kyle Trask was never going to give you. I think, if anything else, Dan Mullen is a guy who should be given the benefit of the doubt when it comes to just figuring out the quarterback. I mean, the guy put Dak Prescott in the league. He's one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL, and he just got Florida to the SEC championship game with a guy who was third string on this roster, didn't start in high school, as we all know the Kyle Trask story. So, you know, Dan Mullen and co. will figure it out, even though he doesn't have his right-hand wingman in Brian Johnson anymore. I do think Dan Mullen and that Florida offense is going to be just fine at the quarterback position.
We'll go back even further. Brian Johnson, when he first arrived at the University of Utah as a freshman, was sleeping on the floor and the couch of the upper-class quarterback, a guy by the name of Alex Smith. They couldn't be any different in terms of what their skill sets were, yet Alex Smith was a guy that would be willing, you know, when the play call comes in, you say yes, but be willing to run some option. And you talk about what Alex Smith became in the NFL. That dude ran the option? Yeah, when Dan Mullen said in the play call, when he was on Urban staff, that's what they did. So I always think that he's at his best when he has a quarterback, A, who can run, is a willing runner, but most importantly, like Brian Johnson was at Utah, you've got to connect on a high percentage of your passes to run the offense that he wants to run. If you don't, the offense will be a failure no matter what kind of weapons you have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, you saw last year, you know, you wonder what would have happened last year if they didn't have, you know, a artificial AI robot in Kyle Pitts, who was just uncoverable, and then Tony, you know, you wonder what that offense would have looked like. Thankfully for Florida fans, they did not have to see that, and they got to enjoy the fruits of all that labor. And so, you know, it never forced Kyle Trask to be mobile or anything that he wasn't. He was able to just sort of slot in. But Dan Mullen does what good coaches do, which is fit their system around their personnel and figure out the ways that you can that you can highlight what players do well and you can hide what they don't do not so well.
Richard Johnson is our guest. You can find him on Thinking Out Loud during the football season on the SEC Network and all year long on Split Zone Duo. You had an interesting tweet recently, and I think you and I view this the same way, regarding Dave Aranda and his style. He seems to think differently than most football coaches.
Yeah, Dave Aranda is – first of all, he's brilliant. And I think that he is – Dave Aranda is so interesting to me because he did not play football growing up. He did not come up that way classically. You know, he wasn't a college player who finished a long and fruitful NFL career and then transitioned into coaching so that, you know, he didn't have to play golf every day. He got into this sort of in a different way. And when you hear Dave talk, what really stands out to me is how he talks about the way his players learned. I'm not going to say Dave didn't like his time at LSU. I would be rude. I don't know him that well. But I think when it comes to teaching and coaching, I think Dave probably had challenges getting through his system to the types of players that are at LSU. I think Dave may have been teaching a style of defense that those players at LSU didn't necessarily need to learn all that deep, because even if you have a Jamal Adams in the wrong spot, Jamal Adams can make you right. because of how naturally gifted of an athlete he could be. Grant Delpit can make you right and on with those very, very talented LSU players. So, you know, you can hear Dave talk and you can hear a little bit about how he sort of ran into some frustrations with teaching at LSU and coaching at LSU. And you know, now that he's at Baylor, I think he has a little bit more sort of a blank canvas of athlete. That was a little bit more like it was at Wisconsin, where he
Richard,
really
we're up against it. We got to run. I couldn't agree more. He wants to coach football junkies. Thanks for your time. It was great catching up with you. We're going to take your calls next as we continue.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.